Well, welcome to the members portion of our podcast when we're talking about perseverance. John made fun of me because I said, catch you on the flip. And so here I am catching you on the flip. So, you know, I'm just trying to be cool for the kids, John. Just trying to be cool for the kids.
You know, keep trying. You know, keep trying.
You know, relevance is what wins people to Jesus. So, I mean, just keep that in mind.
And what you win them with is what you win them to. That's what I've heard. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I've read that I think Barnes
said
that.
We could do this all day.
I know. Anyway, carnal means carnal people. So
carnal Christians. That's a podcast.
That's right. One of the things. Well, no, I think that's a helpful segue because one of the things that I think we want to talk about here is when we think about just sort of all of these theological frameworks that you can find any blog on the internet for, how some of these even kind of erode the classical understanding of preservation of the saints. And so I want to give you guys just a couple moments to bring up some of those and kind of poke some holes in them. So let your hair down, boys. What you got?
Well, okay, I'll start. I find that a lot of times there are ministries that mean well. We don't want to impugn motivations ever. But I think they speak kind of out of both sides of their mouths sometimes, because we're speaking particularly to ministries that are Calvinistic, that at the same time, while heralding the sovereign grace of God and even God's faithfulness to keep his people, will at the same time erode any possibility of assurance that exists.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we could talk about this from a lordship salvation perspective. We could talk about this from a Christian hedonism perspective, even. And want to be really charitable here, but like, for example, when you make statements like, if you do not treasure Christ above all things, then you're not a Christian.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I guess none of us are Christians, because I don't know that I've ever had a moment that I've treasured Christ above all things, where I've loved him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I suppose there's no hope for any of us. Either that, or there's a lot of people out there way better than me, and I'm certainly not saved. Or sure. we could talk about other ministries that are more of the discernment variety, where we're constantly pointed in on ourselves and told to examine our lives with great scrutiny. And in that context, often we joked about this a little bit, or alluded to this in the regular podcast, the topic of habitual sins comes up over and over again. It's fine that you sin, and if you have certain kinds of sins that are sort of normal, I guess that's okay. But if you have a real habitual problem with something that's bad, like porn or whatever, some kind of substance that you just like, you're prone to addiction and all these kinds of things, like, you should have real concern that you might not have the Holy Spirit in you. That's how that's often framed. I think it's incredibly damaging, incredibly harmful. You know, when conversations like that are had, and when people are told that, yeah, if you had the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't sin that way. And I think we've poked holes in that plenty of times in pointing people to the reality of our own corruption and what the scripture says about our depravity, and then pointing people to the words of Paul, even in Romans 7, and about how he does things he doesn't want to do and how he doesn't do the things he wants to do. Yeah, so we could go on about this for a minute. I'm happy to let you guys jump in.
Yeah, I do. I would love to jump on that, yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I would say, so when I've dealt with people in the realm of habitual sin, and both male and female, young and old, for various reasons, doesn't have to be, you know, whatever reason, porn gets picked on quite a bit, but there's a lot of other habitual sins out there that people are enslaved in. And
yeah,
I would
pride,
say
I mean.
That...
Yeah. All right, I'm going to come back and talk about that in a second.
Like, yeah, you are.
I'm excited to, and I'm going to just refrain for right now. I'm going to put a pin in my mouth or something so I don't talk.
Yeah. One of the things I have to do first is develop a foundation where they can determine and with full assurance understand that God has pardoned them, and that God loves them, and that he's compassionate and passionate towards them, and his love has nothing to do with their performance. And we walk through the very basic tenets of the gospel of, this is who you are before God. Do you believe in these things? And then they say, yes. I said, okay, now listen, most people lose the fight in sin because they consider themselves not to be a Christian. So why fight? You know, I'm not even on the team. I'm not even a part of his family. Why should I even care? And I find that the people who are the most assured of their salvation have the greatest amount of fight because they understand what they're fighting for. And the habitual sin debacle where people come in and they rip out assurance, people just finally say, fine, I give up. I don't care because I can't kick this habit. Why keep trying? If God doesn't love me and if I'm not assured, then why keep trying?
So I just want to jump on that really quick, John, and then I'm going to kick it over to you, Jimmy. What you have just pointed to, bro, is the fact that fear is a terrible motivator to fight sin. It's a terrible motivator to fight sin. It doesn't work. Because when people are convinced, which I think all three of us probably, I know Jimmy and I can, and I'm not sure about you, John, but I know for Jimmy and me in our experience, I have wrestled so many times with like, man, I just must not be a Christian. And I can't do this well enough. And God is so displeased with me. He's so angry with me. He's so disappointed in me. Like there's no way in the world he's ever going to accept me. And all that does, that kind of fear motivator and that thinking that I'm not one of his, I've got to somehow climb my way and crawl my way and scratch and fight my way into good standing with God. All it does is beat you to death. In no way does that motivate a person to fight against sin. It just absolutely sucks the life out of you to the point where you're like, I give up. I'm done, clearly. Jimmy, please. Yeah.
No, I mean, I just to share a personal experience. I mean, I was going through a very difficult season at one point in my life, and I remember meeting with somebody to kind of work through it and talk through it. And we hadn't met all that much, but I mean, this person, like our first meeting was just making all of these grand assessments of my soul, you know, essentially telling me that, you know, we need to be concerned about your state and where you are. And I mean, at that moment, I was just in a spiritually weak place, and it kind of just wrecked me for quite a few days and quite a few weeks. But looking back on that now, I think one of the things we can do so poorly is, one, please do not receive your spiritual counsel from a blog post. Like, do not log onto a, like, if you are feeling a lot of these weighty things
can be said.
I know. But like, one, if you are feeling a lot of these weighty things, I mean, we are not your pastors. We want to point you to Christ, but ultimately we want to point you to a loving brother, a loving sister, a loving pastor who can be the doctor of your soul. Yeah. And help you work through these things. But also, my goodness, when we are working with people and they are habitually struggling with sins, the way to bolster them and the way to push them on to perseverance and repentance is not to erode their assurance, is not to like have the scare tactic of, well, you might not be saved, brother. Where the person that's broken with sin and is fully aware of it, who has been completely undone by the law, man, what do they need? They need the gospel. Right. They need to know that they are safe within the forgiveness of Christ.
Amen.
And they can press on. They can press on knowing that Christ is for them, not against them. And we should be very, very slow to make these grand statements about somebody's salvation when perhaps we've just had one or two conversations with them. We haven't known them that long. I mean, and this is why we just point to existing in the life of the local church. You know, we take a long view with people.
Word. I mean, and have a very patient, very gentle pastoral posture where, like you just said, Jimmy, in those moments where you have somebody who's a saint who clearly means to trust Christ and they're mired in sin, in that moment when we're sitting across the table from them, they do not need us to jump in from the top turnbuckle and pile it on. What they need is they need a tender shepherd who will look at them and listen to them and lean in and say, brother, sister, I'm really sorry for what you're going through. This is terrible. I know that nobody wants to be out of this sin more than you. And please remember above all things that Christ is your righteousness. He has accomplished everything that you need. And then we can start to say, now, underneath all of that, in this kind of safe context, let's talk about this. And let's lock arms together and lock arms with your brothers and sisters in the church and let's move forward and let's live together in Christ. Yeah.
Everything you guys are saying is so pastoral, so helpful. So it's full of a lot of shepherding. And I would speak to the listener who maybe has a habitual sin that they're struggling with. One of the things that the Apostle Paul spoke to constantly is the fight of the Christian, the race of the Christian, where yeah. we are laying aside the weight and the sin that easily besets us. And my encouragement to every single believer is you will never get to a moment in your life on this earth where you aren't fighting, where you aren't pressing, where you aren't pushing back against habitual sin. I mean, Paul himself says, look, the things I want to do, I'm just not doing them. And what I shouldn't be doing, I keep doing it, a wretched mm-hmm. man that I am. But he didn't give excuse to his sin, because he goes on to talk about the rage and the war that happens within the soul. So right. please hear us clearly. We are not excusing your sin or the sin of anyone else. It's never no okay to excuse sin. But you have to acknowledge that believers struggle. Otherwise, we can't bear each other's burdens.
Well, sin is not okay, but it's normal.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, this is something that I said to my church last Sunday, you know, preaching, where I said, you know, one of the fundamental battles of the Christian life, if not the fundamental battle, is not doing more and being better for God, but rather trusting and resting in the righteousness of Christ imputed to your mm-hmm. account.
Amen.
Based off of grace through faith. And that is the well from which we draw from to fight sin. And so do not hear us wrong that we just say, we just want to rest in Christ. We don't fight sin because we just rest in Christ. No, we rest in Christ for our justification, for our sanctification, for our Amen. Glorification. But ultimately, we rest in Christ, and that is the springboard. That's the launching pad. It's not that, please do not flip it where it's how well I am fighting sin and how well I am executing the sanctified Christian life is the grounds of my assurance. Because I'm telling you what, you will not find it there ever, period.
No. Come on. That'll wreck in a hurry. So we've just been saying a lot of like pastoral and edifying things. I'm going to go ahead and go punchy if you guys are okay with it.
Oh boy. Come on.
Yeah, baby.
Got to give the people what they want.
That's
so
right.
In the conversation about habitual sin that we've been sort of having, and Jimmy, you referenced this earlier, how the pride word often comes up. So Ooh. I find it interesting that many of our friends in the lordship camps or the discernment ministry kind of camps, they'll harp on habitual sins, and in particular, they'll harp on the habitual sins that they find to be particularly egregious, like we've referenced porn, we've referenced substances, you know, sexual immorality and the like, and that's a huge problem. But then those same people will, when confronted with, hey, brother, what kind of sin exists in your life? You know, for 25 years, they've been given the same answer. For 25 right. years, they've been saying, pride, baby, pride. And like a couple of thoughts. Now, I mean, pride is often the cop-out answer because we can just give it and say, yeah, I struggle a lot with pride, or whatever. Maybe it's anger, but not in an explosive way that would shed me, you know, put poor light on me. But let's go back to the pride piece. So the guy that's like the discernment ministry guy who's just absolutely eroding everybody's assurance because they're not having sufficient victory over habitual sin, but has been confessing to struggling with pride for 25 years. I want to say, well, brother, you know, if you had the Holy Spirit in you, it seems like in 25 years you would have conquered this pride problem. You should probably question your salvation.
Yeah.
Because I mean, clearly, what? There's not enough. Clearly, there's not enough. You know, progress being made in the area of pride in your life. We should right. talk. You know, right. I mean, but nobody ever says that. Anyway, just an observation.
I think you're dead on, brother.
Respectable
sins. That's right. Yeah, yeah. To the listener, if you have not read Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges, that is a must. Jerry Bridges, It is. It's a great book. I love Jerry Bridges. I love some of the stuff that he's written. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, I think JP, that is so spot on that often, I mean, I think that Satan would love nothing more than for us to believe in the victorious Christian life, that our progress is always upward and onward, that we can find rest in our good works and what we do, and hear us again say, you know, we celebrate when believers do good works. We just don't find assurance in them. We find assurance mm-hmm. in the finished work of Christ and Christ alone.
Amen. Amen. One last thought on this pride thing that's ironic is that not only should you, as the guy that's pounding people to death with habitual sin and you've been struggling with pride for 30 years, not only should you question your salvation, you should probably quit the ministry, because this last time I checked, humility is required.
So, oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like, man, I mean, seriously, we should talk honestly about this stuff.
Pew, pew, but we all pew, pew.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I will tell you who does appreciate your good works. Yeah. I will tell
your
you
neighbor.
Who does appreciate your good works is me. Man, as church members, right, man. I need there to be good
your
works.
Neighbor.
Otherwise the chairs don't get set yeah. up and
hey yeah. man. Hey, that's amen. A church planter talking right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, amen. Honestly, as we're speaking right now, there's a group of ladies from our church painting the nursery at our church. So
come
bless them
on.
And their good works.
Come on, brother. Their rewards are a box of donuts from you,
say,
brother. Come on.
They literally just added a wing to their mansion in heaven. Like
they did. Get it. Get you some. It's a big, big house where we can play football.
Football. All right,
football.
This needs to end
all right,
for sure.
Let's
clear.
I know we got to bring it home. It's late. It's late.
Yeah, we're going to crash.
Well, thank you. That's right. Thank you again to you as the member. We cannot have these fun conversations and support one another the way we do without your support of us. And so we appreciate your generosity. We appreciate your ability and your resources to keep this ministry moving. Again, we just want to point you to all of the good things that you are entitled to as a member. Be sure to check out theocast.org and all the different resources that are available to you. We appreciate you. We love you. We are grateful that you help us to continue this glorious Reformation work in Christ Church. So thanks for listening.